I think you need to have a men's gathering.
Little word of encouragement to the men.
And don't worry, whole Bible is that.
Yeah, we read this morning. Yeah, he sends it to me too. Yeah, but thank you. we'll post that. We'll post mine because mine's not folded on the board. Well, praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, folks, and open up to hymn 13.
And it says, "All hail the power."
Now that was a good one. Sorry, Tim, that doesn't count. Okay, it's not a verse.
Count because you didn't sing it.
That was good, man. Oh boy, what a crazy church! I love it. Hymn 13. Let's stand. And don't recite any verses. Oh, boy. Don't let anybody tell you we don't have fun as God's people. And we're going to sing all four.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Thrill him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, amen, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord.
Now,
oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting
seated, church. Glory to God. I believe that sounds like Steve Green there. Could be. Ah, what a blessing. Think of that day when we'll finally get up yonder and crown him. What are we going to crown him with? What are we going to crown him with? That's right, Miriam. Our crowns. Any crowns I get are going to Jesus, because he did it, not me.
He deserves all the glory.
Yes, indeed. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. I'm going to move right along because I want to get you out of here by 2 a.m. Look with me here. We're still on the 8 mysteries of the New Testament. We're on mystery number 7 still. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll finish mystery. We'll finish the second phase of mystery number 7. And then We'll begin our final phase of it next week, which will take a few weeks. The third phase of this mystery will take a few weeks because it has to do with Romans chapter 11, which is deep doctrine.
Part 17 for the sound man tonight, the eight mysteries of the New Testament. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25, we read, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant," that's unknowing, "of this mystery, lest ye be should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." The seventh mystery is the fact of Israel's present temporal hardening against the gospel. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And the Bible explains it in depth. So, go with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Now, there are three specific phases of this seventh mystery that we're examining. First, there's the theology of Israel's temporal hardening. Second, there's the explanation of Israel's temporal hardening. And thirdly, next week we'll look at the consolation of Israel's temporal hardening. So tonight, we're going to finish up our second division of this mystery, which is the explanation of Israel's hardening. Four particular things that clearly stand out in chapters 9 and 10 concerning Paul's explanation of Israel's temporal hardening that we're going to look at tonight. Now, the text that we'll be observing, we're going to pick it up where we left off, by the way, in verse 30 of chapter 9, and this section will go through chapter 10, verse 21, okay, the explanation of Israel's hardening. The first truth revealed is concerning Israel's stumbling. Look with me in chapter 9, verse 30. We read, "What then shall we say? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, here, observe the fact that in verse 30, Paul states that Gentiles who believe on Messiah do presently attain to a perfect, complete righteousness by faith. Okay? By faith, we are made righteous by imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ to the believer. This is done by the operation of the Holy Spirit of God when we receive Jesus Christ. We are made righteous. We don't make ourselves righteous, which is what the Israel was trying to do, but he makes us righteous. Okay. Now, go to chapter 1. Hold your place. We're coming back. In chapter 1, look at verse 16. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, yes, and also to the Greek, the Gentiles. For therein, in the gospel, is the what?
Righteousness
of God, not of man, of God revealed. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just, justified, shall live by faith, not by works." Okay? Now, go to chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 3. Speaking of Israel. "For they, being ignorant," that word means unknowing, "ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now let me ask you a question, church. How does one submit him or herself to the righteousness of God? Lucas.
I would say Acts spells it up pretty good by repentance and receiving the gift of the Spirit.
Yes, receiving Jesus Christ, he said. By repentance and receiving Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. This is how we submit to the righteousness of God. We do it by coming to Jesus Christ for salvation. And that way, we're not trying to make ourselves righteous. We're being made righteous by Jesus Christ when we receive him. Okay? Now, next he declares that Israel has not attained to righteousness because they sought it by the wrong means. Look at verse 31 of chapter 9. They sought it by the wrong means, Verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. See that? They were trying to make themselves righteous by keeping Mosaic law. And it could never work. Somebody tell me why. Why couldn't it work? Because, Lucas?
I would say it's because the old law was just a blueprint of the new covenant, which was supposed to be in effect after Christ rose from the dead.
Yeah. And what had they already done concerning that Mosaic law? Had they kept it perfectly? No, they had already broken it, right? Every one of us have broken God's laws. Yeah. That's why every one of us needs salvation from sin. So, they sought it by the wrong means, by works and not by faith. Go to Romans chapter 11, verse number 7. We read, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. What was he seeking for? Righteousness by the law. But the election, saved people, have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. That's the mystery that we're looking at. He's not talking about Gentiles in verse 7. He's talking about full-blooded Jews who receive Messiah as their Savior from sin, just like you do. And they attain to righteousness, verse 7. They obtain it. Why? Because they seek it by faith. But notice the last part of verse 7. The rest were blinded. The rest of who? Israel. Israel is blinded today to the gospel. A very, very tiny segment, remnant of Israel is saved today by grace through faith, born again. Very, very few. But there are Jews that are saved. You got to remember that. And they carry the Abrahamic blessing with them, the believers. Next, the apostle reveals the actual cause of Israel's stumbling. That is the messianic stone. Look at verse 32 again. Romans 9, verse 32. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now he's going to explain what he's talking about. 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion. This is God the Father speaking prophetically from Isaiah chapter number 28. He says, I lay in Sion, that's Jerusalem, a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him, notice that whoever the stumbling stone is a person called him, shall not be ashamed. Now, notice carefully here that this stumbling stone called the messianic stone is what the Jews stumbled over. They stumbled over that stone. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And can't wait for you to find the address because we've got to move. Look with me at verse 34. And Simeon blessed them. This is old Simeon in the temple holding up baby Jesus. He said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Notice here that Simeon, prophetically by the Holy Ghost, issues a statement that this child, Jesus Christ, the baby, was set for the what? Fall of many in Israel. Why? They stumbled over that stumbling stone. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but by works of Moses. Look with me in 1 Corinthians. The Bible speaks over and over and over concerning this stone, this stumbling stone. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Paul says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a what?
Stumbling block.
And unto the Greeks, foolishness. Time out, church. What is a stumbling block? What is a stumbling stone? What is it?
Something you stumble over.
Right, something you stumble over. It's something you're walking down the road and you're reading a book or doing, you're not paying, looking at the birds and boom, you fall over something. It's a stone and you trip over it. This is what happened to Israel. When the stone of Israel, the Messiah came, they stumbled. They fell over it. See? They didn't come to it and believe on it, but they fell. They stumbled. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah speaks over and over and over about this stone that would come. And Daniel called him the stone cut out of the mountain, made without hands, that would crush every kingdom on earth. Look with me in chapter 8 of Isaiah. Look with me at verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of what?
Stumbling.
And for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Why? Verse 15, and many among them in Israel shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. See that? Israel fell because they did not believe on this messianic stone. Chapter 28 of Isaiah. Chapter 28. Look with me at verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, notice who brought this stone to Israel, God the Father. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that, what?
Believeth
shall not make haste. Notice in verse 16 that this stone is a sure stone. He's a foundation stone. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen? And it says, he that believeth shall not make haste. See, you got to believe on this stone because it's a person. Glory to God. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Quickly. In 1 Peter talked about him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, look with me at verse number 6. 1 Peter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. Now he's going to quote what we just read in Isaiah. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You're not confused because you believe on him. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, and the stone which the builders disallowed, that's the Jews, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of what?
Stumbling.
And a rock of offense, even to them. That's the third time we read those words. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, notice in verse 8 that they stumble on the stone, which is the word. Whose word?
Jesus.
That's the Logos of God, Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God, and they stumble over him. Matthew 21, and then we'll move on. Matthew chapter 21. And look with me in Matthew 21 at verse 42. Watch what Jesus says, verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That's Psalm 118, by the way. Psalm 118, verse 23. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, a Gentile nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone, that's humbling yourself, shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind them to powder. See, the two things that can happen with you and this stone. Either you could fall down on it, humble yourself and repent and pray to it, him, or it could fall on you and crush you to powder. Not a very pleasant option. Now, folks, listen. The first thing Paul points out in Romans chapter 9 concerning the explanation of Israel's hardness, temporal hardness, is that they stumbled over that stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second truth that he reveals is concerning Israel's ignorance of the channel of salvation, which is faith. Look at Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, look at verse 11. We read, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in on him. Now he's quoting Isaiah 28:16, a verse we just read. And Isaiah 28:16 speaks of that stone of stumbling, right? Now watch what he says here. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know why you're in church tonight? You know why you love Jesus Christ tonight? Because you're not ashamed of him. You're not ashamed to own him before this lost world. You're proud that he is your Savior. You love him. And you're not ashamed. Look in chapter 9, verse 33. Romans 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever what?
Believeth
on him shall not be ashamed. Now, here Paul uncovers the root of the problem. That is that Israel did not comprehend that Jesus Christ himself is the channel of salvation for both Jews and Gentiles alike by faith. First of all, he shows Israel's wrongly focused religious zeal. Look at Israel's wrongly focused religious zeal. Chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's saying they're not. I want them to be. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Paul says they are extremely religious. These Pharisees and Sadducees, they are extremely religious, but they're not saved. See, there's a difference, folks, between being religious and being saved. I don't have religion, I have salvation. They're spelt different, as Doc would say. I have salvation. I have a personal relationship with the Son of God. That's what makes me different from a religious person who goes through sacraments and deeds and penance. I don't need that because I have salvation. I'm already saved. Now, he's saying here that Israel failed to distinguish between what we call legal righteousness by law and faith righteousness by grace, between merited righteousness by law and imputed righteousness by grace, which is a gift. Look at verse 3, chapter 10, verse 3. For they, Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that which doeth those things shall live by them. Now, notice here that they failed to see that Mosaic law was ended and abolished with the Messiah's death. When Messiah died on that cross, you know what he did? The Bible says he nailed the law of commandments and ordinances to the cross. He crucified it. You can't hold Mosaic law over me. You can't tell me to keep the Sabbath. You can't tell me to go to temple because I'm dead to the law through the body of Christ. Amen? Now, they didn't understand that Jesus' death was to pay the price for the law, which they broke. They didn't see it. Next, he describes the righteousness, the faith righteousness, as being unattainable by human works. Look at verse 6. Faith righteousness is unattainable by religion or human works. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Now, notice here that Paul is saying in verse 6 and 7, which one of you can take a trip to heaven and bring righteousness down to us? Anybody? You got a space shuttle? How about a rocket? No, you will never make it because heaven's too far. You cannot go up to heaven and bring righteousness down. Then he asks another question. Anybody here that can make it to the bottom of the 7-mile deep ocean on planet Earth? No. You'd be crushed like a grape because of the pressure that's at that depth. Folks, you can't go up to heaven. You can't go to the bottom of the sea to get righteousness. It's unattainable by human works. That's the point of verse 6 and verse 7. Next, he shows exactly how this faith righteousness, may be obtained. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. But what saith it, the scripture? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. which we preach. Paul says, I've got good news, boys. You don't have to go up to heaven to get it. You don't have to go to the depth of the sea to get it. All you got to do is believe in your heart by the word of faith. It's believing what Jesus Christ did for you, not what you can do for him. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Hold your place in Romans. We're coming back. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 is where Paul is quoting from. Who wrote Deuteronomy? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right, the man Moses. That would be Moses. Thank you, Lucas. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, you know the guy they worshipped? The guy they thought they could get righteousness from? Watch what he wrote. Deuteronomy chapter 30, look with me at verse number 11. Moses says, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. He says, you can have it, boys, for the asking. The potential for it lies in your heart, not over the sea and not up in the third heaven. It's in your heart. You've got to believe in your heart. We're going to see that in a minute. Now, notice here that Paul issues a personal appropriation of this righteous faith, this faith righteousness, and how one may attain it. He's going to show them exactly how they can have it. Verse 9, Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 9. That if thou shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say anything about Moses. He didn't say anything about the law or the temple or the priestly garments. For with the heart man believeth unto what?
Righteousness.
Well, it's getting good here. Moses says, you want to be righteous? All you got to do is believe on that stone. That stumbling stone. He'll make you righteous. Look at it. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, I don't care what Dr. Phil says, or Oprah, or the President of the United States. I only care what the scripture saith. Amen? That's the only one that matters. Listen, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Paul says there's two kinds of Jews. There's those who believe on him and they're not ashamed of him, Jesus Christ, and those Jews who are ashamed of him and don't want to, we don't know this man. Crucify him, you know. There's two types of Jews. And there's two types of Gentiles. Those who love him and those who don't. Now, this is very important that you understand that Paul is giving the Jews the personal appropriation, the way that they can obtain to righteousness. Through faith in that stumbling stone that they rejected. The builders, that's the Jewish nation. Okay, the third truth tonight, the third truth that Paul reveals is concerning Israel's ignorance of the universal character of salvation. Look at verse 12. Romans 10, look at verse 12. Paul says, for there is no difference. What? Between the Jew and the Gentile? Oh my goodness, they never heard that before. They called the Gentiles dogs. They hated the Gentiles because they didn't have God. And they became prideful. A religious pride is very dangerous. Paul says now, after the cross, there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, the Greek. For the same Lord, what's his name? Jesus Christ. Over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Wow. He just issued an edict to the Jews that from now on, the whole world is eligible for salvation through the God of Israel. You see that? They didn't comprehend that God wanted all people to be saved. Here, we see Israel's ignorance of the universal character of salvation. Observe here that Paul has to remind the Jews that God is Lord over all people. See that in verse number 12? The same Lord over all? Why is he Lord over all? What did he do to all? He gave them what? Life. He created them. That's why Paul is using creation as a reason why all people are eligible for salvation through that stone. Because he made them all. He's Lord over everything he made. And guess what? He made everything. He made everything. Now listen. He's Lord over all people. And now he made both Jews and Gentiles alike. And in verse 13, notice the whosoever. You know what it means in the Greek? Whosoever. It means whosoever. It means you, you, and you, and you, and me. I'm so glad I'm a whosoever. Whether Jew or Gentile. In Joel chapter 2. Hold your place in Romans. I'm coming right back. Go back to Joel. Incredible prophetic book of the Old Testament. The little minor prophet Joel. And watch what he says concerning the coming of the Lord. Just prior to Amos and just after Hosea. See, if I could find those, I'd be all set. Joel chapter 2. Look with me at verse 32. And it shall come to pass, Joel is prophesying, that someday, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Amen. For in Mount Zion, where is that? In Jerusalem, shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. That's the remnant of Israel. Glory to God. Whosoever, Joel said it's coming, that day's coming, when whosoever shall call upon our God will be saved, whether they're Jew or Gentile dogs. I'm so glad of that. The fourth truth revealed, and we're almost done, is the fact of concerning Israel's ignorance of the need for universal preaching of this gospel. Look at verse 14. They didn't understand that the message of salvation was to go to all the world, not just Israel. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Paul says to the Jews, listen to me, boys. If the whole world is now eligible, whosoever, to be saved and to have a faith righteousness, how are they going to hear about our God if we don't go and tell them? Do you know who the first missionaries were in the first century AD? All Jews. All Jews who believed on Jesus Christ just like you do and were born again and they had the Holy Spirit of God like Paul and they went preaching the gospel all over the world. And you know they reached the then civilized world? They did. Well, I'm going to show you that in a minute here. But the fourth truth revealed is concerning Israel's complete ignorance of the need for universal preaching of the gospel. He's saying that Gentiles, like Jews, need to hear God's word too. Now notice the chain of preaching that Paul gives us in verse 14 and 15. He's showing the need for a logical progression of gospel preaching. First, there is no calling upon the name of the Lord without faith. Second, there is no faith without hearing the word of God preached. Third, there is no hearing the word of God preached if there's no preacher. Fourth, there is no preaching unless preachers are sent. They're called missionaries. Amen. That's why I'm so glad for this right here. I'm so glad for this right here. I'm so proud of you guys that you're giving and we're able to give to these seven missions projects around the world. Amen. Why? Because the whole world needs to hear. Paul says, listen to me, Israel. You're no longer the only people that know God. God wants to reach them all over the world. Paul cites a prophecy next of Isaiah that missionaries would one day be sent into all the world. Go to Isaiah 52. Hold your place in Romans 10. In Isaiah chapter 52, Paul is going to quote from Isaiah 52 in Romans chapter 10. Get Isaiah 52 and get Romans chapter 10. Look with me at verse 15 of Romans 10. He says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know what, folks? Every missionary brings glad tidings of good things because they bring salvation. to people who've never heard the name of Jesus. They bring the message of faith righteousness to those people who need it. Now go back to Isaiah 52. Look with me in Isaiah 52 at verse number 7. How beautiful prophecy that they would say this one day. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth what?
Salvation.
Salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. You know what? I'm so glad that every single missionary sent out abroad tells those people that the God of Israel reigns. His name is Jesus Christ, and he wants to be your God too. Amen? Wow, this is so powerful. They were totally unaware that this message of the God of Israel was to go to all the world. They didn't know. And to this day, they don't really understand that. Then Paul points out that only a very small remnant in Israel would believe. Look at verse 16. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 16. But they, speaking of Jews, have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now, here in verse 16, Paul is quoting, as you know, from Isaiah 53, verse 1. Isaiah 53 is a prophecy of what? The whole chapter. Come on. What is it a prophecy of? Isaiah 53? He was wounded for our transgressions. He's despised and rejected of men as a lamb led to the slaughter. It's the cross. He preached the cross in Isaiah 53. But the first verse of Isaiah 53 says, who hath... Go to Isaiah 53. I want you to see it. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. In Isaiah 53, look at verse number 1. And then somebody tell me what the report is that Isaiah speaks of. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Question. Now, who's he speaking to? The Jews. He's speaking to the Jews, which he was addressing in verse 52. See that? So he says to the Jews, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let me ask you a question, folks, before we answer the question. Who is the arm of the Lord? Think. Jesus Christ is the arm of the Lord. He's got big muscles, right? Jesus Christ. So what is the report of verse 1? The what? Begins with a G. The gospel. The whole chapter, folks, is the cross. That Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. Okay? So when he says in verse 1, who hath believed our report, he's talking about the gospel message. Go back to Romans chapter 10. You'll see it now clearly. He says in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the what? The gospel. That's the report of Isaiah 53:1. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Which is our report of the gospel. Okay, folks. Now, clearly here, we see that Paul is saying that there's only a very small portion called a remnant of full-blooded Jews who would believe the report of the gospel and be saved. And there was. And to this day, there's a very minute, segment of Jews, Israel, that are truly saved. Very, very. Do you know that the Jews have the smallest percentage of saved people of any people, ethnic group on earth? Just like the Bible said. They're hardened. Their hearts are hardened. But guess what? God's not done with them. One day that veil of hardness is going to be lifted and they're going to see that they missed Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Now, go to John chapter 12. Hold your place in Romans. And go to John chapter 12. This is powerful stuff. In John chapter 12, look with me at verse 37. Don't miss this. Verse 37. But though he, Jesus, had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Who's the they of 37? The Jews. The Jews. 38. Why? That the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, now he's going to quote from Isaiah 6, verse 10, He hath blinded their eyes and what? Hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his, Jesus, glory, and spake of him. Now, folks, here's what you have to understand. In this passage, John the Apostle is telling the Jews that a judicial blindness has come upon the nation of Israel. Do you know what a judicial blindness is? That is a legal decreed blindness in a court of law. And the court of law was heaven. And he said, okay, they reject my son, I'm going to reject them for a time period. For a time period. And my message of salvation is going to go to the whole rest of the world while they sit on a shelf. Why? They rejected my son. Their hearts are hardened. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Harden your heart against God. God will put up with it, and he'll put up with it. But there's coming a day where you cross that line. He says, okay, now I'm going to harden your heart. Yeah. You'll never get saved. The Jews, listen to me, folks. God is not happy with those Jews over in Israel tonight. They are in a state of unbelief. They reject your Savior. They hate the name of Jesus Christ, and they hate the New Testament. God is not happy with them. That's why they're going through the tribulation period. He's going to judge them. He's going to bring them under the rod. Amen? But a small remnant, he'll bring through that fire, a third of them, to be saved. And they will be. But folks, they have rejected the report of the gospel. And here in John chapter 12, he says, he hath blinded their eyes, that they shouldn't see with their eyes and hear with their heart and ears and be converted, and I should heal them. See, God said, okay, you're going to reject me as a people group. I'm going to put you aside for a period of time, even though I'm not done with you. Now, Paul shows next the instrumentality, which back to Romans chapter 10. Paul will show the instrumentality which produces saving faith. Look at verse 17. Chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God. Now let me ask you a question. What do the Jews reject tonight? What are they rejecting? The word of God. They're still clinging to Moses. Don't take away my Old Testament, which cannot save. And they reject the word of God from Matthew to Revelation 22:21. Folks, that is dangerous ground. When a human being rejects this book, God rejects them. Oh boy. Serious stuff here. He says in verse 17, faith. Now, what kind of faith is he talking about? Faith that produces what? Begins with an R.
Righteousness.
He's talking about faith righteousness, not works righteousness. Right. Faith righteousness comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you won't hear the word of God, you'll never be made righteous, Paul says. Now, this is the instrumentality, the Bible, which produces saving faith. Next, in verse 18, notice, we're almost done. Paul affirms that the first century church succeeded in reaching the entire civilized world within one generation of the cross. Look at it, verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, truly. Their sound, whose sound? Verse number 14, verse 15, them that preach the gospel, how beautiful are their feet. Watch, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. You know, over there in Colossians chapter 2, somewhere it says that they had reached the entire world with the gospel, first century, before Paul's death. They did it. What's our excuse? We need to send more missionaries, man. We need to reach our every generation of the church age is accountable and responsible before God to reach the world. Because generation passes, so we have to keep reaching all the world. You see? It's not a done deal. Now, he next shows that Israel was prophetically warned that the Gentiles would come to faith by righteousness by faith. Look at verse 19. In verse 19 we read, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation, Gentiles, I will anger you. Now, notice here in verse 19 that he points to the very one in whom they were trusting, Moses' law. And he says, you know what Moses said? Moses said that there's going to come a day when God is going to make you, Israel, jealous by another people group who are not Jewish. Go with me to Deuteronomy 32. I want to show you this, when it occurred. In Deuteronomy, the book of repetition, prior to entering the land, Moses preached an incredible message to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look with me at verse 20. And this is God speaking. And he said, I will hide my face from them. Time out. From who? Who is God hiding his face from today? Jews. He's not hiding his face from you. You love him. He's hiding his face from Israel. I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward, that's evil, generation. Children in whom is no what?
Faith.
One of the few occurrences of the word faith in the Old Testament. You find it right here. It says Israel doesn't have any in God's Son. Verse 21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God, their idols. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Don't you know those Jews were just really mad when they saw Gentiles coming to the God of Israel? They didn't like it at all. And he was provoking them to jealousy with the Gentiles by saving Gentiles. Now, he reminds them that Isaiah also foretold of Gentiles coming to God, the God of Israel. Look with me in Romans 10 at verse 20. Romans 10, look at verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold, and he saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest, that's made known, unto them that asked not after me. Now, Paul here is quoting from Isaiah 65. Turn there. Isaiah 65. And he said, even your prophet Isaiah said that the day would come when he would provoke you to jealousy by a people that are not the people of God, a people that had not sought after God. In Isaiah 65, look with me at verse number 1. God speaking, I am what?
Sought
of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. He's talking about Gentile nations. And he says, I'm found of them. Why? Because they're coming to him by faith, which Israel refused to do. Now, finally, in closing, Paul, in this second aspect, closing this second aspect of Israel's hardening, which is the explanation of Israel's hardening, makes an absolutely incredible declaration. Look with me in Romans chapter 10 at verse 21. Don't miss this. Verse 21. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Wow. What a statement Paul closes this section with. He's saying that God, to this day, has his arms stretched out to the nation of Israel. That's why Jews who repent and believe the gospel are saved. Because his arms are stretched out to them. He'd save them all tonight if they'd all come. 7 million Jews. And there's actually a total of 17 million Jews worldwide. 7 million in Israel. In New York, we call New York the Little Jerusalem. There's over 1 million Jews in New York. That's why it's a favorite target of the terrorists. But look with me here. Go to Isaiah chapter 65 again. Remember what we just read in Isaiah chapter 65 about the Gentiles coming to salvation who had not sought the Lord before the cross? Look at it again. We didn't finish. In Isaiah chapter 65, look at verse number 2 now. I have spread out my hands. Time out, church. Look up here. I have spread out my hands. Look familiar? Mm-hmm. Yeah, cross. I have spread out my hands all the day. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of grace. It's soon to end, but it's still open. All the day unto a rebellious people. Who's he talking about? Jews. The Jews, folks. Look at it. Which walketh in a way that is not good after their own thoughts, thinking they can make their own righteousness by the works of Moses. They won't walk after my thoughts. Verse 3, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. That sacrifices and gods and burnt incense upon altars of brick. That's when they were in idolatry. God says, I'm not happy with them because they won't seek me. But he says, these Gentile people who are now seeking me, who had never sought me before, they're finding me. And they're doing it through faith. Now, yes, indeed, beloved, the God of Israel still loves Israel and still has his hand stretched out to her and is still waiting to receive her back. And one day, we know he will, at the end of the tribulation period. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for this second section of the seventh ministry, mystery called the explanation of Israel's hardness of heart. Lord, it is so clear from the Word of God that they stumbled upon one thing, the stone of stumbling, Jesus Christ, God's Son. Lord, if it were not for that fall of Israel, that rejection of the Messiah, they would be saved as we are today, but they're not. They're still in a state nationally of unbelief concerning Messiah. And we're thankful, Lord, that you've got a plan. You've got a very painful plan for Israel, but it will work because the Bible says it will. At the end of the tribulation period, when you rescue them from the Antichrist, the beast, they will call upon the Messiah and recognize Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Messiah of Israel, Savior slash King, and they will receive him. And you will set up your glorious kingdom for 1,000 years on earth. We thank you, Lord, for the studies of the 8 mysteries of the New Testament. And next week, O God, we'll begin our final section, the incredible chapter 11, the results of the temporal hardness of the nation of Israel. We will see why we are saved tonight. We will see the mechanics of it. And, O Lord, we'll see that the day's coming when Israel will be saved. We thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's, yes, go right ahead, Carol.
How do you know a healthy church when you see one? And what are the things you would be looking for?
I bet it has some answers there. Joy.
A healthy church has a heart for sound doctrine.
Number
separation
one.
From worldliness, soul consciousness, mission-minded globally, while seeking the lost locally and spiritual unity, while desiring to put the Savior first, Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And that's the sign of a healthy church.
Oh, I love it. I love it because I know that as she read those points, we have them all.
That came out of the flaming torch.
I love it. Oh, man, that is just awesome. Let's grab our hymnals, folks, and we'll open up to 161. We'll stand and we'll close out with 161 tonight. What a great day the Lord's given us. And Wednesday night we will be here. One announcement, this Wednesday night we will be here at 7 o'clock. But a week from Wednesday, which will be August the 19th, for those of you who didn't hear, Miriam and I will be on vacation, so there'll be no service that night. Unless our new preacher friend decides to preach for us that night, then you can meet. But if not, there will be no service on Wednesday the 19th.
But if there is service, what about people being picked up?
Yeah, that would be tough. You'd have to communicate that by phone to see who picked who up. Yeah. I believe that's not going to be service that night because I did speak with the preacher this morning. And he doesn't really, he's 84.
Yeah.
He hasn't been preaching anymore. He's retired, you know. And I said, oh, brother, no, I understand. So that will probably not have service on the 19th.
Okay, so we'll all backslide.
Well, pastor's away, right? Let's stand. We'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth. First, the third, and the fourth. Yes, we do. Love to tell the story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell. Satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.
On the second,
I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems.
Praise the Lord, folks. So good to see Lucas tonight. Brother Lucas dismiss us in prayer. And if you can make it, this Wednesday night, we'll be here at 7 p.m. for Bible study.
We will be motivated to do that and not sit around, do nothing with our lives, but that we'll just continue living on this mission to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.